Hello and welcome to Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio. We're on every Saturday and I'm Sarah Lloyd, your host this week, alongside our brilliant breathwork mama, Kathy Bell. Mother Speaks is an unapologetic deep dive and an occasionally stumbling journey into the mother energy, from mothering children to businesses and the wisdom of Mother Earth herself. This is a show where mothers meet to speak about all things that matter on topics across the board, from birthing babies, books, new projects, parenting children, animals and oneself, plus all the conundrums of identifying as being a woman in this day and age. We're a community called together to co-author the book Wake Up Mother, which you can find out more about on our website, wakeupmother.com. And here on the radio show and podcast, we are a collective of four creatrixes at varying stages of parenthood and development, or project development. last week, you heard from Kate Taylor, the lead of the Awakening Festival and founder of Practical Magic. And this episode, we have a special guest, the lovely Carolyn Creel, who also appeared at the Awakening and did a little speech there as well. Welcome, Carolyn, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm really happy to be here.
We're really delighted to have you here too. And it's a really exciting time for you, isn't it? Because you just gave birth to a book.
I most certainly did. Yes. Yes. Easier giving birth to a book than birth to a child, but the same kind of concept. Yes.
So I just wanted to say, I guess the reason we brought you on the show is not just because you're birthing a book, but also because you are a grandma, a mother. So you understand all the things that it is to be a mum in this day and age. And I'm journeying alongside you, not very, can't speak today, for goodness sake, woman. but you have really helped me to declutter my chaos and get clear on what I want to do. And, you know, one, I want to thank you for that, but also want to bring you on just to talk about kind of what you do and the magic that you bring to women in midlife, which is basically the listeners of this show. So can you tell us a bit about the CLEAR method?
The CLEAR method is for, like you say, women in midlife. I think what we do is we get to an age where we want to, our children become older, so we get a bit of independence back, and we don't know what to do with that. Or, you know, when the question is, how do you feel? Well, you know, once you put yourself that far down the list from your kids, your husband, your dog, next door's cat, you're that far that you don't know. We don't know who we are anymore and what we want. And often I've looked at people, I've done clairvoyant readings with people and sat and chatted with loads of women. And they, you know, that question is, what do you want? Well, I don't know, because I don't even know who I am. And it's allowing themselves to actually get back to who they were and remove the blocks because we have blocks of putting everybody else first, looking after the house, working, doing all the things that we feel we have to do. And it becomes a burden, or as I've said, I do it, but did it with resentment instead of actually, what do I want to do? Well, I don't know what I want to do because I'm too busy doing everything for everybody else.
And this is, I'll jump in here, Sarah, if you don't mind. This is something I see it everywhere. Like, who am I outside of being a mother? Who am I?
Yeah.
And it's so, I think the reason is because at the topic that we've been talking about behind the scenes with Wake Up Mother is that feeling of shame of mothering ourselves.
Yes.
Not being able to mother ourselves. But it might not be shame, it might not be as deep as that, but just the inability to mother ourselves for being, you know, for fear, cutting my teeth in, for fear of you know, being judged for seeing as being seen as lady or selfish. I think selfish is that big one, isn't it?
Yes.
And you're right, you end up in that midlife stage going, who the hell am I? Who the hell am I? Yeah. Massive topic. So glad we're talking about this today.
Yeah, I think it's the thing where we all forget who we are. And like I said, we do things with resentment because we want to be the best mother that we can. So the biggest thing is, because there's no how to be a mother. Well, there's lots of, but, you know, we all do it differently. And I think you're right, Kathy, there is a bit of a shame thing that when I was bringing my daughter up, she I used to drop her at school, but then I worked. So she would sometimes be at my mum's after my mum went to holidays. I was always at work, and she her best friend, her mum worked school hours and had school holidays off, and why can't you be like her? And, you know, because I can, because I'm a single mum and I've got to put food on the table and I'm trying to grow a business. And it's that guilt. And years later, me and her had the conversation and she went, not bothered at all. She said I was probably playing out that day, but, you know, playing up. And she said it wasn't a problem, but that didn't mean that I didn't feel guilty the whole time that you're dropping your kid off and somebody else is looking after them.
I mean, I think it comes, I love the piece that you bring in there about being the best mother that we can be and the choices that we make to be the best mother that we can be. And yeah, like you say, there's no rule book, so we all make different choices and we make those choices and then we see other people having different choices and we go, oh, maybe we should have done that. Maybe we should have done that. From what, you know, from what our children, yeah, then feedback to us. I mean, I've made the choice to be, you know, I grew up as your daughter did, you know, like being, you know, at the childminders after school. And, you know, my mum was a single mum and, you know, she worked and my grandparents lived in different towns and villages, so couldn't be there after school. So I was at childminders and I, you know, I made a different choice as a mother. And still, I'm like, have I done this right? You know, I'm constantly questioning myself because of my daughter's behaviour or my daughter, you know, how things play out in just our family life. I'm like, God, you know how lucky she is. Like, you know, did I make the right choice? Like, she's so, you know, she's a little bit, she's very independent right now. Did I make the right choice? You know, like, I was always very independent. And yeah, it comes back to that. Am I being the best mother that I can be? And the pressure we put on ourselves to be that is massive, isn't it, Sarah?
It is massive. And I think also, I mean, I've spoken to Carolyn about this at length.
Yeah,
is all the other stuff that goes with being a mother. It's not just bringing up your child, but it's also, you know, keeping on top of all the tasks that seem to fall quite naturally to the woman. And if you're a single mom, then, you know, you get them all as well, right?
Yeah.
So it is, you know, trying to balance the whole, all the housework and all the cleaning and making sure the kids have got school uniform. I mean, my goodness.
Let me tell you a funny story. This will maybe resonate with some listeners. You know, sometimes people are like, oh, Kathy, you just look like you've got your, you know, your stuff together. And I'm like, yeah, it's not quite the same. And it's not quite true. In the past 2 weeks, I've dyed 2 lots of school uniform pink. So I did it the first week. I did it the first week. PE t-shirt, polo shirt, you know, pants, the lot pink.
Yeah.
So I had to go out and buy all new polo shirts. You know, she's only going to be at them in school for the next, not even 6 months. Polo shirts, PE shirts, all that. Oh, I was like, you can have pink pants, I don't care about that. And guess what? I did it again this week. I did it again. I was almost like, what is wrong with you? I don't know. Maybe it's the mother load, Matthew. Maybe it's the mother load. He's like, you know.
Yeah.
Just doesn't get it. I'm like, if you'd done it, Matt, I probably wouldn't have happened. But it comes to me. So, yeah, this idea that, like you say, Sarah, all this stuff we have to do.
But it also goes with it, the fact that you beat yourself up because you turned everything pink.
Yeah, you know? Twice.
But isn't that life? Isn't that part of being a mum? We don't know. We're doing the best job that we can. And when Chloe was younger, there was challenging parts throughout her, you know, teenage, from being about 12 to probably being about 23, in and out of challenging parts. But I always remember that thing of a very old person said to, a wise old person said to me, they come back to who you've to the values that you've ingrained in them, and they do, bar none. And I've said that to friends of mine that have younger kids than mine, and they've always said the same. They you were absolutely right. I said, as long as you put the right boundaries and the right things in, they come back to who they are. They're just out there testing you. And my God, is it testing at times?
Yeah, but, it really is.
Yeah, it really is. But they do come back to their true selves. Thank the Lord. But just hang on in there.
It reminds me of the story you told me about, like, your house is nice and clean and clear, but you used to shut Chloe's bedroom door and just, like, she'll deal with it when she's ready. Oh, my God, how difficult is that?
That's me.
It was so difficult, but all I used to do was get really angry with it. So, and then in the end, I just went, leave her to it. Leave her, but up to about 12, I probably did used to go and bottom it, or she would come in and she'd go, I've cleaned my bedroom. You know, they want you to come and look then when they've done it, and like they've done some massive thing. And when it was about 14, 15, I'm like, I'm not going through. And I had people that cleaned the house at the time, and I just said, don't do her bedroom, just don't. And then somebody said to me, have you been? I went, I've no idea, I've not been in her bedroom. Then her boyfriend moved in. Oh. Everything changed. It was cleaned. It was clear. It was, you know, everything was marvellous. She wasn't 15 at that point, by the way. She was 19 when he moved in.
Yeah. Sorry, Carolyn, continue.
No, it's fine. No, go on.
Well, I'm just going to say, I'm just at that stage. Like, I love this conversation. I don't know how much time we've got left in this first segment, but my daughter's 11. And it drives me insane. I went in last night and I did two drawers and it took me an hour. So I did I did the pants and sock drawer and the pajama drawer. And my cleaner doesn't go in there either. So my cleaner gets told, don't do it. Don't go in there. But I had to sort these drawers out because it's, you know, you're like grabbing for socks in the morning. I'm like, she has 27,000 pairs of socks. It's just they're all in this big jumble. And I think me and Carolyn are probably quite, sacred. What's the word?
Kindred spirit.
That's the one. Kindred spirits when it comes to clear faces.
I think you're with me.
Yeah.
I'm loving the sock conversation. We're just going to have to pause for a little track and some station messages. Carolyn, we've picked a track. Would you like to introduce it for us?
Yeah, I was going to get it wrong then. It's ABBA, Dancing Queen. It reminds me of being very young. I think I was about 11 when it first came out, but it's probably one of my all-time favourites. And you can dance around to it, and it's uplifting. So I love it.
Great.
A great song where you're sorting out the sock drawer.
Oh, That makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Kiss me quick. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Oh, and we're back. And welcome to Mother Speaks. I'm Sarah Lloyd, your host. I'm joined by Kathy Bell, and I also have the lovely Carolyn Creel, who has joined us today. And we were just talking about decluttering children's bedrooms, houses, all the things. And I wonder, could we explore a little bit around the why? Because, you know, we see Marie Kondo, we see Stacey Solomon going into people's houses and doing all this work. But why do we hold on to stuff? Why do you think that is, Carolyn?
I think that we don't like change. And the one constant thing in life is change, but it's the actual letting go. It's the letting go of the feeling of that part, of that point, or the connection that you had to, you know, your size 8 jeans that you really will never get, you'll never wear again, but you're not letting go of that part of you. So it's that realising of where we are now and recognising that we need to let go and to change and evolve. But there's some things that we just hang on to. Often it can be things that are heirlooms or that you've been left by parents or people that have passed. It can be that sort of thing. And it's a guilt thing, isn't it? It's like, can I actually, well, I can't stand that picture, but it was my granddad's and he left it to me. And you're like, what do I do with it? You know, and it's that, it's just letting go of actually, my granddad's not here anymore and he really probably wouldn't care and did it probably just to wind me up. So let's just let it go. But we're not good at letting go. We like to keep things.
So that's the L in your clear, isn't it? So I think, is that right? Every letter means something specific in that journey.
Yeah. The C is for clearing, for actually clearing your energy and your spaces, your physical and your energetic. The L is for letting go. The E is for energizing, which is lifting yourself up. Instead of being, so once you've let go, you can be a little bit flat. So it's energizing. What do you do? What sparks joy in you? Looking at yourself, a bit like we were saying, you know, what is it about what do you want to be? Who are you? And the energizing is that it's spotting what it is that you are, to actually lift yourself and what you want. Then the A is for action. So, you know, we can all do vision boards, we can all manifest, but you've got to do something. You know, sat at home in your living room with the TV on, not moving, sat with your cat on your lap, isn't going to get you doing anything. Even if it's going out for a walk or just action, taking action and activating something, some change within yourself. And then the R, the final one, which is the most difficult one as women, is receiving.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that is how difficult it is to receive. And I think we all go, oh yeah, I receive well. No, we don't. If I said to you, Kathy, oh, I'll come and I'll clean your house, or I'll paint, I'll decorate your living room, you'd be like, no.
Oh, I know. No. Oh, well, I know, I'd be like, yes, please. I would, I really would. I mean, but I love that you got letting go and receive in there, because I think I was going to chip in with the, why don't we let go of things? It's because we're scared of things coming to replace it as well. A lot of the time it's guilt, holding on to heirlooms. But there's also, and this is from personal experience, my father-in-law was a huge hoarder. Huge. He sadly passed away in his hoard, and it was really, really very sad. But it was almost like from a lack mentality. You know, it was this scarcity. Yes. If I let this stuff go, what do I have? Yes. I was in on a conversation with my husband actually this week. He's like, well, if I let go of this thing that I do, who would I be without it?
Yes.
Like, who would I be without my size 8 jeans? Who would I be without my, you know, all my crap, all my little possessions? Like, who would I be? And maybe sometimes possessions can feed into our identity. And I see my daughter, as soon as I'm speaking about it, I see my daughter's, she's got two wardrobes full of teddies and Barbies and big, massive toys, you know, that she is 11. She never, hasn't played in them for years, but it's like, who would I be without them? If I let go of that, then that means I've got to grow up. You know, if I let go of my size 8 jeans, maybe I've got to own up to the fact that I'm going to be a size 12 or 14 or 16 or whatever size it is for the rest of my life. And that can be hard, can't it? But knowing that, in letting go, you create space to receive.
Yes,
that's the hardest bit.
Yes,
that's certainly the bit that this is the bit where Carolyn's coached me, because I'm absolutely rubbish at, you know, even when you go for a cup of when someone says, oh, I'll get that, you end up fighting that. Oh, I'll get it. It's like, no. Even the most smallest of things, like someone offering to buy you a cup of coffee, I mean, how many times, listeners, have you fought somebody to buy the coffee? You know, how silly is that? But it's so true.
I just go, oh, okay, please, thank you. Now I do, but yes.
I was the same. I thought that I had to sort everything and pay for everything and do. But you're right, Kathy. Once you realise it, you just go, thank you, that's lovely. And when somebody pays you a compliment, and you know, the old thing of, oh, this old thing, or this, now I just go, thank you, instead of making an excuse and dumbing it down. So, yeah. But the thing that we tend to do is we often want, once we have let go, we think we need to fill that void.
Yeah.
And we don't. We need to sit sometimes and see what comes through.
Instead of trying to. Oh, that's so uncomfortable, though.
That's the void, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm very into clear spaces. And again, I'm sorry, I feel like I'm completely hijacking this conversation, Sarah, but I have so much to say on it. I love
it's
it.
All good. It's all
the,
good.
Very much in breath work. It's an energetic practice as much as it is a physical practice. And clearing out, as you were explaining, and even gesturing there with the hands.
Yeah.
But clear spaces are massive in that. So this room gets massively dusty, hugely dusty. And I get to a stage where it gets to a kind of level of clutter, you know, let's say, or gets to a stage of dust, you know, because there's so much energy being moved. even though the person isn't in the room with me, it has to be super clean and clear. And same with my house. My house is very minimalistic because I can't stand clutter. I've got three dogs as well, Carolyn, so that adds to the busyness of just what's going on. But the so it's just about me, but I do see so many women, mothers, where their children are little, the housework gets on top of them, and we do go into that spiral, don't we, I think, where it just doesn't get done. And it's fine that it doesn't get done. It doesn't mean that you're a bad mother, it just doesn't get done. I wonder what you'd say to somebody, like, where would you start in that scenario? Like, I'm just thinking, I have a client right now, and you know, she's like, the house is a state. I need to sort the house out. I need to sort my life out, but I also need, it starts with the house. Like, what would the starting point be for somebody who maybe has, you know, their little kids are little still, or just starting to grow up, and they're like, right, let's get this sorted.
The easy wins for me with small children is put the toys in a designated space. Clear, like you just said about your daughter, it's all in the wardrobe, but she's older and you're not looking at it, so it's not a problem. But when they're young, how much do they actually play with? They don't. There's just, and you know, we've all had them where the whole room is just full of toys. It's just like they play with three things out of that. So just, you know, allow them the three things out, or have a tidy up time. I have a great niece who goes to nursery and they do tidy up time. She doesn't want to do it at home, but she comes to my house and I'm like, we'll put that away before we'll do anything else. But my advice would be clear the big stuff, clear the stuff that they don't use anymore. You know, a lot of times you've probably got buggies, you've got old prams, you've got all sorts of things, and move them on, you know, donate them, because then donating makes you feel so less guilty. So it's just moving, and it's getting rid of the big things, even though the small things, if that makes, you know, the big things that take up the space, you get rid of those instantly. You've got some clear and some clarity.
Yeah, it makes such a difference, because we kind of went through all of that. So like my girls are 9 and 7, and there were still boxes of Duplo and boxes of teddies and all of the things. And when we kind of decluttered the front room, it was almost like, okay, that's all gone now. I've kept a little box of all the little things that I want to, you know, want to keep and share with them when they get older. But ultimately, like the big, you know, happy lands, the massive castles, and they were, I mean, I ended up selling, sold the whole lot on Facebook, and it was, you know, I ended up giving quite a lot of other stuff to the woman that bought them, because, you know, she had like three little kids, and you know, it's like, here, have it all, go off your box,
please take it.
But I guess there's also that thing where you used to get the bag as well, like bag of clothes, and you'd pass them on and people go through the clothes, and there's this whole thing, like my daughter got given a big bag of clothes from one of her friends at school, and she just wanted to keep it all, and I was like, you don't need to keep it all, we just take what works for you and we'll pass the rest on. And there was this whole thing around, but my friend gave them to me, I might need them. So interesting, because I think we all do that, don't we? We like, if someone's given it to me, I must keep it for a reason, whatever that is.
Well, Chloe, my daughter, she's obviously she's got a 5.5-month-old, and so all her friends are obviously having babies and what have you. And do you want this? And she said to me yesterday, she said, anybody ask me again, I'm just going to go, no. Because she said, what they do is they give it to me and I'll say to them, no, do you want it back? And like, no. And then you're stuck with the thing of what do I do with it? She said, they can bloody get rid of it themselves now, not me. So when Chloe was small, I would clear out things when she wasn't there. Because you know what toys they play with. You do it in front of them, they give nothing up. You know, they'll go, no, 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 I need that. You haven't played for 2 years. So I always used to do it when she wasn't there.
That is the good tip. And that action piece, that's what, you know, I really love that that's in there. That action piece is what, I mean, I don't know which hormone it is, but it's the dopamine, the endorphins, the serotonin, like that, getting stuff done. That's the feel-good, isn't it? Like, I was so easy. Last night, my, you know, Carolyn and I were supposed to have a meeting last night, but it got cancelled for various technical reasons. So I was like, right, okay, I have 2 hours now where I can either sit on the sofa or and watch nothing on Netflix, because there's nothing on there right now. Yeah. Or I can sort this out. And so I spent the 2 hours that Yasmin and Matt were at swimming, and I cleaned the whole, you know, cleaned the bathroom. My cleaner was off sick. Cleaned the bathroom, cleaned the bedroom, sorted hers, sorted this out, and it was just, and cleaned the stair, like instead. I was just like, yes. Like, this feels good. How would I have felt if I just spent 2 hours sat on the sofa while my husband and Yasmin were out? I would have felt more guilty, you know, like I didn't need to sit on the sofa. I wasn't tired. I was going to be working anyway. So the fact that I swapped that time, you know, for something that actually made me feel really good, the action piece, because, yeah, that's why I've got a cleaner. I don't like cleaning that often. But last night I was like, this is amazing.
It's because Carolyn's in your space.
Yes, exactly. I did it after the session with Carolyn. But Carolyn just infiltrated my space and made me clean up. Yeah.
But it's that we all do it. I do it because my house, I'm not Marie Kondo. My Stephen, she's gone off the, she's slid down the scale a little bit. I live in the real world. And now and again, things, like you said, Cathy, things get too much. And all of a sudden, I'm just like, I need to do that. I need to go and get a couple of clear boxes to put paperwork in because I seem to have them scattered all over. And I need it in one central space. But I'll do that. You feel like going to the teacher, don't you? Going, look what I've done. Look what I've achieved when I've put some...
Yeah.
It's like, hey. Actually let yourself on it, but it's good. And doing it is fab.
It feels like a really good time to just to break just a moment.
Yeah.
We've got a pause for station messages and also another track. Cathy, do you want to introduce this one?
Yeah, I will. I mean, I chose this song. It's Power by an artist called Milk, M-Y-L-C-K. Beautiful artist. But this song is about taking your power back. And I think this, the conversation that we're having right now, it's just a really natural place to go. Really uplifting song, so enjoy.
Take the power back, baby. Fall so in love with your inner lady. No sense chasing what you could have been. Let these battles make a champion. Say hello like it's the first time that you met. You're so beautiful, I won't leave you again. Ooh, I'm finally seeing who I am. Ooh, I feel the power coming back. Ooh, I hold my heart in my own hands. Ooh, I feel the power coming back. Power.
the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're back. I'm Sarah Lloyd. I'm the host of Mother Speaks this week. I'm joined by Kathy Bell, and we're also joined by Carolyn Creel, author of The Clear Method. And we were just talking about taking action. The thing that I wanted to just like add to that, because obviously we're in this flow of conversation, but when we were going back to the kind of the energized piece, and the once we've cleared the space, I don't know about you, but I automatically decide to then jump in and buy more stuff. You know, I there's this part of me that just really wants to fill it really quick. But I think it's important just to like allow and sit and be in that clear space. Because, and I think that's also another thing as like as a new mum. When my kid was sleeping, for example, I would just be like, I don't know what to do with myself. It's this, there's this, I think it stems back from, we just don't know what to do with ourselves when we get that space to ourselves. Like you decluttered last night, Kathy, but you know, going out and actually doing something for ourselves, whether it's a bath or whatever it is, isn't that such a, I think that's quite a common thing that women experience. Would you agree, or would, am I leading people down the path here?
I think you're right, Sarah. We try to fill that gap. So Kathy, as you know, not picking on you at all, you got that space and you could have done something for you, but you didn't. You cleared the bathroom. And whilst it does, it feels brilliant, but we put the needs of other people. As women, it's what we naturally do. We put them first, be that kids, husbands, dogs, or... And yes, it saves us a job later, but what you could have done was just gone and laid in the bath and, you know, drank a bottle of wine or whatever, but you don't. You go, I'm going to do that because, but we are just not very good at going, I'm going to do something for me. How many times do you go on a spa day or half spa day and you've got to organise it and feel really guilty before you go?
Yeah, that's so true.
Whereas men just pick up the golf clubs and go and don't think about anything.
They have it right, but for meeting their own needs. And you know, I sometimes say, I've said it before, my husband is my spirit guide when it comes to taking care of myself. I'm like, what would he do in this? Wouldn't Matt wash the dishes, or would he just go and sit down and relax? And I'm like, if it's good enough for him, I'm gonna do it. He's honestly, yeah, if we could, I made peace with that. Like, what would Matt do? Matt would go and serve himself, so I'm going to go and do that too. Yeah, no, I had to clean the bath last night because it was gross, and I really wanted to have some space this afternoon when no one's in the house where I want to get in my bath and it's really sparkly clean. So I have created space for myself, and yeah, last night's decluttering was like a prelude to making this afternoon really glorious and yummy. I was like, Friday afternoon, I've got it free. I'm going to schedule in a little bath there.
Well, Kathy's doing the clear method without
without knowing.
I think she does it naturally.
Yeah.
Good.
Can we speak about being a grandmother?
Oh, it's the most amazing thing ever. I never really expected to be a grandmother. I think Chloe was about 15 before I realised that I may be a grandmother at some point. And Anyway, Nelly was born on October the 17th last year, and she's an absolute joy. It's people used to say things about being a grandparent and how it made them feel and how lucky they were and when the connection, and I kind of went, because Chloe and I are very close, she's my only one, so we're very connected. And I thought, how can you, you know, kind of love something as much? It's different, but oh my God, you know, I walk Chloe's house now and walk past Chloe and I'm like, where's Nell? You know, is she in the limbo? Oh, I do exist. Yeah, yeah, I know, bye. And a little face like something, it's amazing. It is just beautiful.
Oh, my mum's done that with me for the past 11 years. Very annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. Thing is, Chloe's not bothered. She goes, yeah, okay, I'm not you. So it's just, but it's joyful. And especially because being a mother, I found quite difficult at times when she was tiny. I prefer grown, as they grow up, I like them better. But then they were tiny, that worried the whole time, aren't you, thinking they're going to fall over, and she did a lot. So it was that sort of thing, whereas as a grandparent, you can also advise your own your daughter, because I know what she's going through because I went through it, and she's on the phone every day, what do you think today, so what do you... And it's lovely because I'm now a calming influence, where I was that one that was on the ceiling when it was made. So it's just it's a beautiful thing.
How was it when Chloe went in to give birth? How did that feel for you? Because that's when the shift, that's the kind of the rebirth of you as a mother to a grandmother, isn't it? It's an interesting. Oh,
it was really strange because I went to a couple of antenatal appointments with her, and when we were sat there, the midwife looked at Chloe and she went, and how's mum feeling? To realise she wasn't talking about me, she was talking about Chloe, and that she was actually going to be a mum. So I was like, oh, that's not me. So when instantly you become, the transition happens before, because you realise actually that your child is going to become a mother and your child is not a child anymore. And Chloe and I had a conversation about the grieving. Because she said, you know, we have to let go of that relationship. She's very wise for a 28-year-old. But she said, we, you know, and who we are now, who we are going to be, isn't who we were or who we are. And evolving into that was interesting. But I was very keen on her being the mother. And, you know, because lots of people said to me, oh, are you going to be at the birth? Well, Chloe's been in a relationship with Nelly's dad for 10 years. And I'm like, no, because they become a family there. So she was in labour. And of course, I was sat at home beside myself for about 10 hours, but it needed to be them. And that's when you realise that they're in that room, they become a family. And you kind of take a step back, but you don't. The role's different.
Yeah. So, yeah, so beautiful. Like, we're just in that experience with you there. Like, it's kind of brought tears to my eyes.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think not many, there are, I think that you're probably maybe a bit different in the way that you address that to perhaps some other mothers that, you know, certainly we've sat within circle where they've had, you know, grandparents come in and swoop in and take the baby, you know, the mother's just given birth and that, you know, the grandparents come in and just, you know, it's an interesting shift. And sort of speaking from my own personal experience, it was kind of, I found it a bit jarring moving from being mum and daughter to being mum. And kind of having this whole like new dynamic to deal with, certainly with mother-in-law and mother.
Yes.
You know? And, it, you know, it's the thing is, they're not the things that they're not really taught. That's the sort of thing that you just kind of, it becomes a bit like clunky for a while. And then, you know, now I think, you know, me and my mum and my mother-in-law, we're all, you know, we're all swimming along really lovely now, but it's, it's an interesting one because I think there's just this such a big change for both of you. And I think people don't take that into consideration as it's, you know, it's all about the baby. It's all about the mum, but there's also the, you know, your shift.
Yeah. I was very clear when they first, when they brought Nell home and obviously the birth, that I went, obviously, was at hospital, first one there, all that, and, you know, Claude bursts into tears. He starts behaving like it, you know, they just, all of a sudden, it was like an adult had walked in.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And they're both looking at me going, we don't know what to do with this baby. Okay. So they brought her home and to theirs, and I would call in, but I would call in for 10 minutes. And I let them, I was, don't get me wrong, she was on the phone all the time. What do you think today? But I let them become parents themselves without me. I was there to guide and support, but not to take over. And they've been absolutely brilliant. And everything that's been thrown at them, they've got on with it. But those first few 2 weeks were very like, oh my God. I mean, you know yourself, yeah. And it's an assault, isn't it? It's not what you think it's going to be. So, but they, it made them very strong as a couple. So, which yeah. always, so, but what, it's not my job. My job is to guide and support. And I have this thing about kids. We don't keep them. We are guardians for them. So, and at some point they go and they make their own lives, and that's how it should be.
Yeah. Fully respect that. I mean, it's just making me reflect on my mum. How, you know, my mum wasn't around, so, well, she's around, but she wasn't, she lives in a different location. So she did come to live with us though, but I'm trying to think how old Jasmine was. I think she was at least 6 months old. So actually that was really helpful because she came to live with us for a little while. And at that age, it's just really helpful, isn't it?
Yeah.
To have that support, that, you know, the baby just starting to, you know, do all the things. Yeah, she was 6 months. Yeah. But yeah, having, and sadly, we don't have a mother-in-law in our, another mother-in-law, we just have the one. Yeah, being left, almost being, you know, being left to figure it out for yourself and make you, it does make you a stronger couple. It makes you, yeah, that confidence. I love that piece, what you say about you walking in and they, you know, it's like an adult walked in the room. I love that. It's so true. Yeah. Like, help me.
You yeah. say that my mum did the same. She was like, she just kept turning up with food.
Yes.
You know, she'd be in the room and Carl's bouncing around, like doing all the things, because I just had the cesarean and couldn't really do a lot apart from have the baby on my lap. And Carl was like whizzing around, sorting out all the, you know, sterilizers and things like that. And mum's just like, here's some food, just eat. For goodness sake.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because it does blow your mind.
Oh my God, it does. Yeah. I mean, I remember, well, Chloe said they were driving back from Leeds and Nell was sick in the car. So she's, Jazz is flying, you know, the stopping the car because, you know, this baby's 12 hours old and being sick. And he said, I felt like turning around and going back to somebody, you know, come, we're not ready to look after this child.
No.
Else come with us. And I said, yeah, I'm 28, I think you've got it, you're all right. But it's that initial fear, isn't it? Really scary.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about our signature question, Sarah, like, what does mother mean to you? I'd love to get Carolyn's take on that. What does mother mean to you?
Loyalty. My daughter is the biggest part of that. I think once you're a mum, you never feel alone again, I think, is the thing. And her happiness and her health means more to me than anything else. She is the biggest joy of my life. And that's what motherhood, that's what mother means to me, is joy and loyalty.
Love that.
Oh, well, I guess, is there anything else you'd like to share before we wrap up, Carolyn? Is there anything about the CLEAR method, or how can people find you?
Well, my book's available on Amazon and all good bookstores, allegedly. I'm on Facebook as Carolyn the Clairvoyant Clearer, I think. We're on that one. And Instagram as Carolyn Spiritual. And then my website is carolynkrill.com.
Amazing. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Carolyn and myself and Kathy. I also know that cuppers with Carolyn are very clearing. So if you ever feel...
What are very clearing? I missed that word. What are?
Carolyn's cuppers.
Carolyn's cuppers? What does that mean?
It's, I think I booked in with you, didn't I, Carolyn? It was a cards and a cuppa.
Yeah.
And you end up having the most enlightening hour.
Well, it's fun.
I think I've seen that cards and a cuppa on Instagram. I'm like, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed this chat. I want to thank you, Carolyn. It's been such a, it gets me all excited talking about cleaning and clearing spaces. So thank you for that. Thank you for being on the same page because, I don't meet many people. Thank you. No. I think the CLEAR method, I love how you put the kind of the piece around the acronym and the CLEAR method. I think in that, that receiving piece has been such a great conversation to have, and letting go. I love the decluttering shows. Like, it's really motivating.
Yes.
Thank you for having me, ladies. It's been joyful.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. And if you've enjoyed listening to this episode of Mother Speaks, please tell your friends. And if you'd like to listen again, you can listen to On Demand on UKHealthRadio.com, on their podcast stream and all the major platforms. We also have a Spotify playlist handily called Mother Speaks, containing tracks from the show so far and the ones we want to share with you. Mother Speaks is part of our Wake Up Mother community. And you can find out more on wakeupmother.com, on our interactive portal, wakeupmother.substack.com. And we're also in the midst of a crowdfunder because we want to take the circle work further afield. So if you feel like donating, please do. You can.
And there's bonuses. Sorry, Sarah. There's the bonus to the crowdfunder. So the £10 for the book.
Yes, if you want to grab a copy of a signed version of the book, that's for £10. Or if you'd like to come on this show, you could donate £100 and be in the chance of winning a slot on Mother Speaks. The latest Wake Up Mother news is available on Mother Speaks Unplugged with after show raw and sometimes explicit content. We're also on Instagram as wakeupmother_community, and we'd love to hear from you to keep these conversations growing. Thanks again to Carolyn and to Kathy for being part of Mother Speaks, and to you, our dear listeners. Up next on UK Health Radio's rolling stream of healthy shows is the Menopause Sisters. So remember, you have a vast, untapped, fertile field of mother energy within you. Regardless of what or how you choose to mother, it's just waiting to be honored by you, for you, and for the rich families you are co-creating.